We can say that the American jobs market is stronger than expected after news this morning that 280,000 more names were on payrolls in May compared to April. Sturdy was the adjective chosen by Reuters, which seems apt, even though the unemployment rate ticked up slightly to 5.5%. That was a function of more people jumping into the labor force to look for work. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Greetings, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So 280,000 more. Were you expecting that, Chris?
Nobody was expecting 280,000 payrolls in May. It really is a spectacular report. Faster growth in hourly earnings and unemployment rate ticked upward, but it only rose because participation was better. Pretty much good news across the board.
Well, let's focus in on an important piece of this. You mentioned average hourly earnings went up. Some people are getting raises.
I mean, we're talking about a 0.3% increase this month, giving us a 2.3% increase from a year ago. But look, that's the best we've seen since right after the recession. That earnings growth is something the Federal Reserve has been hoping for, so they'll certainly be reassured by that rise.
Now, just looking through the data myself here, a lot of the jobs added were in the service sector, not so much when it comes to jobs where you're actually producing goods.
There were big losses in mining. That's because the oil price is so low and they lost 18,000 jobs. But that just makes the service job creation even more spectacular. To get 280,000 with a loss of almost 20,000 in the mining category is pretty unique.
Christopher Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Let's check the numbers. Today's unemployment news put back into focus the idea of the Fed engineering a rise in interest rates, maybe in September. That's reflected in the yield of the Treasury's 10-year note, rising at the moment to, let's see, 2.41% now. 24 minutes into the trading day, the S&P 500 is down 0.2%. The Dow is down 59 points, about a third of a percent. The NASDAQ is down 0.5%. Members of the oil producers cartel OPEC decided today to keep production right where it is with no cuts despite slumping prices. This was expected with crude using the Texas price at just above $58 a barrel, about half of what it was a year ago. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
The theme this meeting is not just pumping oil, but doing it more efficiently. Analyst Jamie Webster of IHS is at the Vienna meeting. He says oil executives told OPEC this week that low prices are forcing them to cut costs.
So this brings the total cost of supply hopefully downward, which does set us into a path where maybe we won't be getting back up to that $100 mark for some time.
You will recall crude prices stayed north of $100 a barrel for more than 3 years before tanking last year. Most OPEC members will keep drilling for a few reasons. They need the money. They're fighting for customers. And, says Seth Kleinman at Citigroup, they sense a peak in the market. Not peak supply, but eventual peak global demand for oil.
You see the surge in renewables, increasing probability of something getting done about climate change. You actually could see the Saudis sitting there thinking that we're sitting on top of a huge depreciating asset, so we need to produce it all and we need to produce it now.
He also sees softer prices for now. This is, after all, the high-risk, you-never-know oil market. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
More now on this week's U.S. Supreme Court ruling that'll make it tougher for homeowners to get out from under property where the value has sunk lower than the loans. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has more on what happens when bankruptcy law gets stricter. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So, Chris, the Supreme Court essentially cracked down on homeowners who might want to get rid of those second trust deeds, those second mortgages, those home equity loans in the case where the house just wouldn't sell for all the debt that's owed.
Right. So the Supreme Court said, look, you have this home equity loan. You're going to have to continue to pay on it in bankruptcy. I think this is a fundamentally mistaken set of policies. And it's one reason why the housing crash that we went through had such bad effects on our economy was this trend toward making it harder to discharge debts in bankruptcy. And the Supreme Court decision, again, reinforces this trend. And it's a big mistake.
Because there's a conflict here. We want people to abide by their commitments, but on the other hand, we want people to be able to start again so that the economy in general can grow.
That's right. So the 2005 Bankruptcy Reform Act changed that dynamic. And Michelle White, she's an economist at the University of California, San Diego. She and a set of colleagues looked into the change in the law, and their estimate is that if you look at prime mortgages, the mortgage default rate was about 23% higher than it would have been because of the 2005 Bankruptcy Act, which made it harder to discharge debts. That's not what we want, because when you have a foreclosure, it affects the homeowner, it affects the neighborhood, so it's hurting the economy, which just sort of exacerbates a downturn.
I know when some people who pay their mortgages dutifully each month hear this, they wonder if society has turned in the wrong direction, whether or not we're getting too easy on people who have borrowed. But the fact is, we used to be really strict if you look at history.
Of course, we had debtor's prison, so there has been progress. But here's the thing. We're the land of the second start. And so some of the most famous names in U.S. history, they were bankrupt.
Like who?
Daniel Boone or P.T. Barnum.
Walt Disney. Benedict Arnold. That guy went bankrupt.
Not the best example.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Christopher Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, David.
And there's news today that the biggest sovereign wealth fund in the world, Norway's, will sell off its stocks in coal companies, $8 billion worth, mainly affected German and Danish coal companies. The Norwegian parliament ordered the change, in part out of concerns about the risk of climate change. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.